You know, we may not know exactly why we're here. And actually, it's very much the unknown. Whether we have an endeavor from a long time and waiting for this Yom Kippur retreat, or whether we decided an hour or two ago or last night. Right? So there's a way that we are going to actually invite the unknown. This is a path. This is a walk, a journey, a lot into being with present moment awareness, inviting us into present moment awareness, engaging us with experience that is always happening here and now. So we do need a lot of preparation. So if you feel you've come unprepared, very good. It's really true what I'm saying, right? That beginner's mind is so helpful. If we have a sense of just opening and not anticipating, the commitment is happening with what is presenting to us each and every moment, right? So we may actually check if there are already a lot of expectations, you know? What do you expect? No thoughts. What do you expect? Only peace, no body pain. The perfect meditator. That's not existing, you know? So you're gonna have a full range of experiences, and every single experience is part of the journey. So if we have expectations, you really notice, oh, this is an expectation, right? And may I meet it? So there is an inner commitment. There's an inner engagement to allow, to be with whatever is happening. And we learn. We actually learn in terms of not needing to get upset, get uptight, get entangled, and fight. This is part of the journey. So in terms of meaning, the spirit, I'm giving you just a few hints, a few indications in terms of what is the helpful attitude. What is the helpful attitude? And you will hear this again and again and again. To welcome, to allow, to meet in a way that you actually find the space in terms of whatever may surface, may it be received. So there's a letting be, and it's not to do so much. This is why we're in this very unusual, maybe unfamiliar situation, right? Sitting, doing nothing. Sitting and doing nothing. Now that doing nothing means that we're more able to meet what's happening. So it's in the being, and there's a lot happening in that being already. To connect, to know what's happening moment by moment. So I'm just gonna give a few words in terms of the spirit. How wonderful it is that more and more and more people are driven to this investigation in terms of what it is to be a human being. What is it, you know? What is it that actually our mind are capable of? What is it to meet a heart that may be in full joy? What is it to meet a heart that may be in sorrow? How is it to be with a body that is just presenting itself? So it's very much about learning and meeting the human condition. And of course, it has to do with the relationship with ourselves. And so there's a drive, and that path, that journey is manifesting towards insight. Insight means wisdom. It means understanding. It means really having some sense that we have a lot of ideas, but insight comes from intuitive understanding, where we may have ideas, but we don't nourish so much the ideas, but the true experience. What is surfacing when we are actually meeting ourselves? Not the idea about how it should be, but what is actually happening. And of course, there's going to be guidance in terms of how we do that. So the supports are very simple. There's a lot of simplicity in terms of structure. You heard, right, the managers. Don't do this, don't do that. So you may say, wow, it's a whole list of rights and wrong, right? But there's a purpose to this. The purpose is that we actually deepen the connection and we actually let go of a lot of habits that we have. You know, those tendencies that we live with, the way we like things to be, and we do things in a certain way. We learn about our habits when we begin to be able to just put a little thing down and actually meet ourselves in this very incredibly beautiful community of people that are in exactly the same position as us. Together, we meet the moment. Together, we learn from what is happening within my body. Together, we meet the nature of our humanity. So there's a shared, a common human experience. There's a thread here. And it's extremely beautiful to feel that, to sense that as a community, that it's happening and that it's growing. We're almost, I think, 100 here. Isn't that amazing? And we've had, in terms of personal path of practice, it's kind of something to rejoice about. Charles has been teaching here for 20 years. This is his 20th year in Israel coming to offer Dharma. My 19th year. So it's a pretty long connection, but it means Tovana has really grown. You know, we used to have small retreats. And so there's an ongoing sense of seeking the meaning. Why are we on this earth? What do we want for ourselves? What are the benefits? So when we let go a little bit of expectations, wants, I want this, I want that. And we will see that we may want, you know, quite a number of things, internally and externally. And just see that that does not need to be the drive, but we need to see it. And this is mindfulness. This is awareness that is enabling the seeing. We see the confusion. We understand the pain of gripping, of fighting, wanting things to be a certain way, and we can open the fist. So there's so much depth in terms of why we're here as a human being. So the structure is calling for simplicity, meaning that the form, you will notice, is very simple. Have you looked at the schedule? Yes. Whoa. Walking, sitting, walking, sitting, walking, sitting. Right? So it's kind of crafted, you can say, for depth. So there's not a lot of activity. Yes, there is some Qigong or yoga that will be offered, and that's great. And there will be, you know, body movement, and we will have maybe ways that we will meet each other in terms of group interviews where we have just simple exchanges about the practice. But basically, it's very much encouraging being present, being with ourselves. And that's simplicity. It's simplicity to actually nourish mental qualities, nourish the calm, nourish the tranquility, nourish the mindfulness, to see more and more deeply what's happening in me. So simplicity means letting go. Letting go of habits, letting go of what we want to do, when we want to do it, we actually engage. Letting go means we engage, and it's great in terms of simplicity. There is a dimension of renunciation. We renounce. So we renounce reading. Why renounce reading? And I've seen already some people, oh, I can read this book during the retreat, you know, and it's a book I haven't read and I want to... No. Why not read? Because we don't want to feed the thinking mind where you're stimulated with what you're reading. We really benefit from staying connected with embodied presence. So please, no reading, very little writing. If you want just to write a few notes in terms of your practice, that's fine. But basically, it's very much about living like a tree. Embodiment rooted in my body, with the breath, with the body, embodied presence. So we can shift from head, all heady, to heart and embodiment. So that's the purpose, right? Simplicity. And in terms of the form, the schedule, you just follow it. It's the simplest. So if you think, oh, what else could I do? There's nothing better to do than just follow the schedule. Of course, there are many things you can do. But to actually have a sense of benefit from the meditation, really nourish simplicity. And then in terms of support, there's this other aspect, dimension, which is, of course, essential. It's what I call the jewel. You know, the Persian poet Rumi, he says, let silence speak to you about the secrets of the universe. So we're going to let silence speak to us. Really, there is one vow, you can say, in terms of taking a vow. And that is the vow of silence, because it's a support. Now, it's not a punishment. You know, it would be very clearly beneficial to know what we're doing, who we are, where we come from, you know, what is our name, our family backgrounds, da-da-da-da-da. All the stories we have, of course, in terms of a human being, right? We have a history, we have a personality, and but the uniqueness of a structure like this one is that we let that piece outside. It's really exploring the nature of our humanness, as I already said. So we are not alone, but we are together sharing silence and supporting the energy of silence to actually connect more deeply with that nature, the nature of our heart, the nature of our mind, the nature of our bodies. So silence is not kind of an option. It really is a prerequisite. And you'll see how you can sense after a little bit of time when we have arrived, the quality of energy that silence holds. It's not empty. We're full, there are 100 people here. And that silence has a very clear quality of sometimes spaciousness, sometimes stillness. It has humanity in it. So we can let the silence speak to us in terms of receiving that jewel of not being so engaged. It's a gift to be here, and it is a gift to be in silence together. We don't need to show up. We don't need to be looking good. We don't need to say something intelligent. Yeah. It's just like, wow, just simplicity. Putting down the burden. I feel that's a gift. And of course, at times we'll miss the connection, but you know, it's really a balance, and it's how much we actually add to the reality. It's just silence. So if it is a first retreat, it's a little bit, you know, shaky, and we don't know, and we're a little bit maybe stressed. It's totally fine to feel that. It would be normal. And slowly, slowly, we adjust. Yeah? So the form, the attitude of simplicity, the silence, and the last thing I'd like to mention here right now before offering the mic to Leland is the kindness, the care. Over and over again, it's mentioned in the teaching that this quality of awareness, which is of course a certain type of attention, right? We're gonna be attentive, we're gonna be aware, has the objective of care. It's a caring attention, careful, full of care. Meaning that we support kindness. And this has to do with what Lila's going to talk about, which is named Sila, which is respect, a quality of respect for ourselves, a quality of respect for each other. So there's a dimension of non-harming. We can be so harsh towards ourselves, you know? We're going to be invited to be in contact with maybe the breath or body sensations. And then, of course, one moment you'll notice, whoop, the thinking mind is going to be strong. So the thoughts are coming. And when you notice that, please be kind rather than judge or criticize. It's very clearly part of the well-being, the insights, the liberation process. So this whole perspective is in terms of liberation. Liberation from the habits, liberation from what hurts, liberation from what gets entangled. So it's deep. It's not just about being well, comfortable, at ease. So, of course, ease is good, but it's so much deeper than that in terms of meaning. And so the supportive care of kindness will be encouraged over the talks, the days that we're here. May you have a wonderful retreat.
Okay, so hi everyone, my name is Leila, and this will be the first and last time I will try to speak to you in my broken English. I hope you understand. So that Patricia,
this is for me to understand.
Yeah, so Patricia can also be included and understand. Shalom, welcome. Really, I feel joy in my heart seeing so many friends and so many of you taking the time and just coming on a retreat. What a strange thing to do, if you really think of it. There are a zillion of things you could have done in Yom Kippur, no? Maybe. But actually, it's the combination I find in this time of the year of both a retreat and of Yom Kippur, which is, in a way, the whole place is on some kind of a retreat. First of all, a retreat from food, and then retreat from driving, and then no official, let's say, television or radio. Or, in a way, it's like directing and redirecting all of us to somewhere else that usually in our daily life, we are directed in a different way. So here we are, all of us here together. And I want to say big appreciation for you to take the time and effort and courage also to do this. And quite a few of you know this practice and been on retreats before. We know that by the forms. And some of you also, it's the first time, and even more so, yeah, not to be taken for granted. What are we doing here? What is it that we are looking for? Patricia mentioned just now the beginner's mind is a good way actually to start and to be here. Instead of having an opinion or knowing or judging or evaluating, how am I doing? Am I succeeding or failing in this or that? Actually, starting with completely fresh, new attitude, never mind how many times before we've done it, because actually, the truth of the matter is that this is a fresh moment. So it offers us a fresh beginning. And the more we practice in looking at ourselves, others, and life in a fresh way, a way that is not bound by our habits, maybe by our greed, maybe by our hatred, maybe by our delusion, which is like the classical poisons to the mind, to the heart, in a different way, to look at ourselves in a different way, to look at life in a different way, this is much more conducive, this is much more helping to freedom. Freedom of heart, freedom of mind. And this is what we're doing here. Patricia mentioned it's not about being the best meditators. It's about being free. How free we can be as human beings. There's no end to it, really. What helps this freedom? What can support our path to freedom? It can be in many different ways, but most of all, it's our attitude. And Patricia mentioned the kindness and the warmth. We are welcome to practice, because it's a kind of a practice, really, to free the kindness in ourselves. Be kind to ourselves, be kind to others. In terms of community that the Asaf and Michal spoke about, to look at each other with kind eyes. It's already in the attitude. Instead of, you know, being maybe hostile or rejecting or feeling, I don't know, letting the negative mind be the ruler, which is normal sometimes, you know, when it happens. It's not to be judging that as bad, but not actually giving it the place to take over our inner life. Maybe some of us came here with burning questions that we need to solve just before Yom Kippur ends, or we need to know many decisions need to take before the new year really starts and all of that. Just please notice the pressure that you put upon yourselves and don't do that. As much as you can, don't do that. One of the key words in this kind of practice and teaching of the Buddha is the word dukkha. Dukkha is a word in the language that is called Pali, and there's many meanings to it, like suffering, like not being at ease, unsatisfactoriness, and so forth. But one interpretation I would like to offer right from the start is the meaning of pressure, being something that is hard to bear. This is actually the literal meaning of this word, something that is hard to bear. And as it is, you know, life offers plenty of opportunities that we can face some things that are hard to bear. We don't need to add more fuel to the fire. So how can we as human beings find ways not to be under pressure? There's a saying in Zen that a mountain is not heavy unless you try to lift it. Just check within your experience, what is the mountain that you're trying to push, lift right now? And maybe, just for now, just for this retreat, or just for this moment, let it go. You don't really need to solve the burning life questions right now. But maybe open up to something that is more interesting than these answers. What is it that can be revealed where there's no pressure in the human being? No pressure. The structure that can be of great support and is actually at use for many, many retreats and countries and generations all through the years is the one that we also use here. One name of it is the five precepts. I like to call it the five guidelines. And again, not to be tossed immediately into the world of right and wrong and, oh my God, I did this wrong again and again, the pressure coming. I mean, this pressure is really sneaky. It will come and stay with you and it will take you time to notice even. So please don't treat the guidelines as something to be, I don't know, another heavy mountain. But actually is what they are, the guidelines, something to check for your own experience. How does it work? What does it do to you in your inner life when you follow it? And what are the guidelines? The first one talks about respecting life. In the simple translation of it is, please refrain from killing. Even the small little ants that they're the walking on the path when you're doing your walking meditation outside, or mosquitoes or whatever that is alive and you feel is bothering you, and it better not be in the world right now. What happens in the inner life when we actually are not involved in this kind of action? When we let things be, even if they bother us, even if they're not pleasant to us, and we are not engaged in violence, in taking life. And maybe you want to check, how is it in your inner life, when you're respecting life, in whatever form it takes? The other guideline is talking about taking things that are not freely given, freely offered. And of course, in the simple ways, please refrain from stealing. But again, we can take it to a few more levels here. How does it feel when I'm not utilizing something that I'm not freely given, even if I'm not totally sure about it? And it can be like, you know, the small things of the shampoo that someone left in the shower, or an extra cushion someone, your neighbor might have and you don't, and you really want it. And also, it involves the way we use the world. How much food, I think Tammy, the kitchen manager, was mentioning, how much food we put on our plates, do we really need all that? Yes, we were freely given that, but how much can I respect life by being more simple, more accurate, more exact? So practicing in that way as well, not taking what is not freely given, or take another look of on the way we are taking and utilizing things. Another guideline is talking about sexual energy, sexual activity. And first of all, I want to say that there's nothing wrong with sexual energy. That's the way all of us are here in this world. That's how we popped up. And it can be a very beautiful way of interacting with each other, showing love and intimacy and so forth. And in the context of a retreat, please take care not to be engaged in any sexual activity whatsoever. And there is a purpose for that. First of all, we want to use the energies for the inner looking. Yeah, like just in the same way we would not read a book here and not let ourselves sort of daydreaming, which will happen anyway. We don't need to add more fuel to the fire. But there's another aspect of it, and that, you know, we never know who is sitting next to us. We never know her or his history. And out of deep respect for the other, we would like to take care with our sexual energy and be really in this gentle care for ourselves and other friends that just like us are going through some process right now. And we want to offer the place of safety for all of us. Just like with the precept of not taking what is not freely given, we'd like to cultivate the culture of safety for all of us here. Another one of the guidelines, the fourth one out of fifth, is talking about the way we speak, actually. In the simplest way is, please do not lie or refrain from lying. But again, we can really go deeper with this one. And there won't be many opportunities, you know, for talking. Patricia just spoke about the value of silence, the deliciousness of silence. Most of the time, guys, women, men, you will be in silence. But there will be some opportunities to utilize speech. Maybe you come on a one-on-one with us or in the smaller groups. Most of the time, you'll be noticing the inner chatter, the inner talking that is going on. Please check, is it true? Is it useful? Is it really beneficial right now? Not with the judging mind, with the discerning mind, with the mind that knows, right now this does not serve me. It does not serve my freedom. It serves pressure. It serves dukkha. All of those are ways of exploring. Yeah. So please take care and take this as another guideline to look into it. And the last one refers to refraining from intoxications or using substances that are not helping our clarity of mind. In a simple way, it talks about maybe drugs, alcohol, poisons, all kind of stuff. Here, you won't have many opportunities for drugs, alcohol, no, not on Yom Kippur, not on a retreat at all. But it's another invitation to check. Maybe for some of you, coffee really influenced you in a way that is like another escape route, or too much food, or I don't know what. Just check for yourself what can contribute to the clarity of mind and what actually harms it. In this special time of Yom Kippur, I feel as a community, and each and every person here is really taking such a beautiful and brave move to look inwardly. I don't know if some of you know that, but Yom Kippur is actually a day of joy. It's a day that we can meet with courage our inner movements and be free from them. It's a blessing, and maybe not easy, but quite simple. Moment after moment, we are invited to see what's really going on and how can I meet it? Not via all the many escape routes that I'm used to, but maybe in a different way, with a different attitude, with a different heart, with a different mind. And this change in and of itself is already contributing to our freedom. Every moment, every step we take on this path, even just paying attention, what is the inner talking? What is the inner critic saying now? And I'm saying, well, maybe not now, or thank you for sharing, or I don't buy that. That's a great moment. And even if you think, oh, I'm lost in so many moments that I'm thinking about what not, past and future, and just I'm not here, I'm such a lousy meditator and all that, don't believe it. The momentum of a moment that is free is much, much greater than many other moments that are just passing by and we are sort of, you know, automatic pilot living our lives. So don't measure, don't count it like that, but rejoice whenever you find yourself confused. Something in you knows you're confused. And this something in and of itself is not confused. There's clarity about confusion. That is great.